Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Last Kings of Shanghai by Jonathan Kaufman is a narrative history of two prominent Jewish families, the Sassoons and the Kadoris, whose business empires became deeply intertwined with the rise of modern Shanghai and the upheavals that reshaped China in the 19th and 20th centuries. Moving from the trading routes of the British Empire to the treaty ports of coastal China, the book traces how these dynasties built fortunes in commodities, real estate, utilities, and banking while navigating the shifting forces of colonial power, Chinese nationalism, and global war. Kaufman frames their rivalry as both a family drama and a window into the making of a global city, revealing how ambition and philanthropy could coexist with hard-edged deal-making and political. As Shanghai transforms from a commercial outpost into an international metropolis, the families struggle to maintain influence amid revolutions, occupation, and the eventual triumph of the communist state. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, from Baghdad to the China coast, building merchant power, a central thread of the book is how the Sassoons and Kadoris emerged from the Baghdadi Jewish diaspora and adapted to the commercial architecture of the British Empire. Kaufman situates their rise in the age of steamship trade, imperial legal protections, and treaty port privileges that gave well-connected merchants exceptional leverage in China. The families did not simply arrive wealthy. They built networks across India, Hong Kong, and Shanghai, learning how to secure credit, manage risk, and move goods at scale. Their success depended on reading geopolitics as carefully as balance sheets, aligning with colonial authorities when useful, while cultivating ties with Chinese intermediaries and elites who could open doors locally. The book also emphasizes the role of family organization in empire building. Relatives were placed strategically across ports, and loyalty, marriage, and succession became business tools. This origin story matters because it explains the later rivalry. Both dynasties shared similar starting conditions yet made different strategic choices about reputation, partnerships, and long-term investment, choices that shaped their standing when Shanghai became one of the most contested cities on Earth. Secondly, rivalry and strategy, two dynasties, two approaches to influence, Kaufman portrays the Sassoons and Kadoris as competitors who represented contrasting models of capitalism in Shanghai. The rivalry is not only about money, but about style and staying high. One family is often associated with early dominance in trade and rapid expansion, while the other is depicted as more methodical, focusing on infrastructure, utilities, and long-horizon investments that could survive cycles of boom and bust. Through this lens, readers see how business competition becomes a form of soft politics in a city where foreign concessions, Chinese authorities, and criminal syndicates could all shape outcomes. The book shows how each dynasty cultivated influence through different relationships, social circles, and public-facing philanthropy. These choices affected their ability to weather crises, from market shocks to sudden regime changes. The rivalry also humanizes the broader history. Personal ambition, inter-family resentment, and the pressure of inheritance turn abstract economic forces into lived drama. By following decisions made in boardrooms and family homes, the narrative explains how Shanghai's skyline and institutions were shaped by competing visions of what it meant to be powerful, legitimate, and indispensable in a rapidly modernizing China. Thirdly, Shanghai as a global city, commerce, concessions, and cultural crossroads, the book uses the family's fortunes as a guide to Shanghai's transformation into a global metropolis. Kaufman highlights the peculiar legal and political landscape created by foreign concessions, which made the city a magnet for capital, migrants, and opportunists. In this environment, property development, shipping, finance, and public utilities became engines of modernization, and elite families could act as quasi-civic planners by deciding what to fund, build, or buy. Shanghai's cosmopolitan culture also figures prominently. The city drew Chinese entrepreneurs, European imperial officials, refugees, and artists, creating a social world where languages, religions, and class codes collided daily. The Jewish dynasties operated within this mix, maintaining communal identity while participating in a broader expatriate elite. Their institutions and social commitments helped shape the city's public life, from hospitals and schools to clubs and charitable networks. Yet the same cosmopolitanism created vulnerabilities. A city built on extraterritorial privilege could be destabilized quickly by nationalism, war, and ideological struggle. By tracking the rise of Shanghai alongside these families, the narrative makes the city itself a main character, illustrating how global capitalism, colonial governance, and Chinese modernization interacted in ways that still echo in China's urban and economic development. Fourthly, war, revolution, and moral complexity in an age of upheaval. Kaufman places the dynasties within the relentless shocks of the 20th century, when Shanghai became a strategic prize and a humanitarian crossroads. Political turmoil, the expansion of Japanese power, and the wider catastrophe of World War II tested the boundaries between pragmatism and principle. The book explores how business leaders responded when violence and coercion threatened both profits and lives, and how relationships with authorities could become ethically fraught. This period also underscores Shanghai's role as a refuge, including for Jews fleeing persecution in Europe, and the narrative highlights the ways established communities and wealthy patrons could influence survival and resettlement efforts. At the same time, the book does not reduce history to simple heroism. It shows how elites can be pulled into compromises by the need to protect employees, families, and assets, and how choices made under occupation or political pressure are rarely clean. Revolutions in China further complicated everything. As old structures collapsed, the dynasties confronted expropriation risk, shifting legitimacy, and the question of whether to bet on accommodation, exit, or reinvention. The result is a portrait of moral and strategic decision-making when the ground under capitalism itself is moving. Lastly, legacy, philanthropy, and the fate of wealth. After 1949, a major theme is what remains after empires fall and borders harden. As the communist victory reshaped China's economy and foreign presence, the structures that had enabled treaty port wealth largely disappeared. Kaufman traces how the families responded to the end of an era, including the difficult process of leaving, preserving capital, and redefining identity outside Shanghai. This is where the book's focus on philanthropy and civic investment becomes especially revealing. Charitable giving is presented not only as generosity, but as a strategy for legitimacy, community cohesion, and historical memory. Institutions funded in Shanghai and beyond became vehicles through which influence could outlast political control of assets. The narrative also explores how family stories are curated across generations, how reputations are defended or revised, and how descendants interpret the compromises and triumphs of their predecessors. In this sense, the book is about more than two families. It asks what it means to build in a place that can later reject you, and how the infrastructure of modern life can carry traces of people who no longer have a formal stake in it. The legacy of these dynasties becomes a lens on globalization, displacement, and the long afterlife of capital in Asian history. In conclusion, this book suits readers who enjoy narrative history that blends biography, business, and geopolitics, including anyone curious about Shanghai, Jewish diaspora history, or the origins of modern Chinese urban capitalism. It also fits readers who want a human-scale view of major events because the family's rivalries and choices make wars, revolutions, and market shifts feel immediate rather than abstract. The potential benefit is perspective. By seeing how entrepreneurs operated inside colonial legal systems, managed cross-cultural networks, and confronted ethical dilemmas during crisis, readers can better understand how today's global economy was shaped by earlier patterns of trade, inequality, and migration. The book is also a reminder that strategy is inseparable from context, and that long-term resilience often depends on institutions, relationships, and reputation as much as on profit. Compared with many Shanghai histories that focus mainly on diplomacy, crime, or nightlife, Kaufman centers the business dynasties that finance much of the city's growth while still connecting them to wider social and political currents. That combination of family drama, economic history, and modern China background makes it worth buying for readers seeking both storytelling and substance. If you would like to support Jonathan Kaufman, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.